Welcome to the second season of Goals Do Come True, the show that takes a deep dive into the systems and processes that help turn your business goals into reality. Hosted by me, Doug Bennett, the Goals Guy. If you like what you hear today, please remember to share the love by liking, sharing, and reviewing the show. It helps spread the word to others looking for help with their goals. Anyway, let's crack on. Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of Goals Do Come True with me, Doug Bennett. Today, I am pleased to be joined by Nicola Peak. Now, Nicola is the owner at Peak's Private Members Club. She's a former business owner at Shulicious Limited, and she previously, I've just found out, was a financial advisor way back when, but we don't talk about that for a number of reasons. But anyway, now I wanted Nicola on my show because I'm going to say I've been stalking her a little bit.
Not creepy at all,
in a lovely way. We met a little while back at Expert Empires, and, you know, I've been watching and learning and being a little bit envious on some of the stuff that she's doing. So we're going to dive into Peak's Private Members Club a little bit. But anyway, Nicola, tell us what you can tell us that isn't protected by a non-disclosure agreement from your past, which is so intriguing, but we're not allowed to go there because there's an NDA in place. But anyway, tell us a little bit more about yourself. Thanks for joining me.
No, thank you. Thank you for having me. So yes, so I started my career at 16 in a bank, and then that literally was my life mapped out. Just landed. I got an E in maths GCSE, by the way. So how they're recruiting me, I don't know. And then just, yeah, worked, become a financial advisor at a very young age. I was about 23, 24. I had my daughter at 20, and I was probably quite stubborn. So when people were telling me, oh, you can't do that, it's not a women's industry, I was like, well, fuck you. Yes, I can. Sorry, can I swear?
You can. Yeah.
And I was always really driven. And then that was my career literally up until 2020. So that was my life was mapped out. I was actually really happy. I loved my work that I did. Love working with people, but there were just things going on that made it really not a nice experience for me. So January 2020 come, found myself out of work for the first time from the age of 15. Found myself feeling pretty low. I had to go to the doctor, I was going on medication, I was kind of suicidal. Because I just felt like I've worked 25 years, thought this was it. You know, I was going to retire, I was going to have my nice pay, I was going to start the business, you know, all those things. And it just went, like everything just went. So I was really low at that point. And then move into lockdown. So obviously I was looking for jobs, speaking to recruitment consultants. It was painful. Just having to repeat the same story. There was a lot that I couldn't really talk about and just had to go and find another job. And then we went into lockdown and it was like such a relief because I was like, well, no one's recruiting. It wasn't a relief on the financial front because we were financially screwed because everything had just stopped for me. But there was this relief that, oh, I don't need to look for a job now. I'm not going to get a job. Nobody's recruiting. And then I just started to enjoy. My daughter was at home. Obviously, my husband was at home. We were all at home drinking rosé wine in the garden every day because the sun was shining. And then I just started to think, oh, there's got to be more than this. I've been really miserable. Why don't I just try and do something that I enjoy? And then basically then that's how I set up Shulicious. So I started, you know, we were all baking in lockdown, weren't we? Doing the banana cakes, the cakes and all this. So I was doing a lot of baking. We'd bake and then we'd drop them around to my in-laws and leave them on the drive and come away and stuff like that. While I was working as a financial advisor, I'd done a Prulease cookery course because I just love cooking. And I had this idea one day that I was going to be on MasterChef. So I did this whole 6-month course. So when I started the baking, I'd already kind of been learning for about a year. And then I was reading a magazine one day and I was sat in the garden and it had a photo or something of an afternoon tea. And I thought, oh, that's a good idea. And I just put a post on Facebook. I didn't use Facebook like I do now. It was literally just, you know, personal stuff. Thinking of doing afternoon teas, what do you reckon? And everyone's like, oh, yeah, that's a good idea. So I thought, you know what, I'll give it a go. So I started just delivering to friends family on the three-tier nice stands. I'd bag them all up with big bows because people were sending gifts to each other and stuff. And I was doing all that. And I thought, this could actually be a business. Like, I could actually do something here. So then I started doing all the legal stuff and all the stuff with the council. And then I started doing it from home, set up all my business pages on Facebook, started advertising that I was doing it. And it was really good fun because it gave me something to do in the day. My husband had to do the homeschooling because I was baking. So I got out of that one. And then it was just bringing in a little bit of money. And I was like, oh, this is doing okay. And then after a couple of months, come the summer, I was a bit like, if I want this to work, it needs to be bigger than what it is. I live in quite a small town, Bridgnorth, small market town. So everybody started doing the same thing. All the cafes that had closed down all started to do the same thing. So the demand wasn't enough to warrant me running a whole business. And not when I've been earning six figures and then like earning £300 a month. It's like, no, this isn't going to be sustainable. So I decided to start delivering nationally. I was like, right, the only way I can get more reach, more people is to start delivering it all over the country. I had a few disasters. So I started sending out to friends and family and they'd turn up absolutely trashed. Mm. So I had to really learn how to pack boxes, how to do it all properly. And eventually I nailed it. And by January 2021, I went from earning like £800 a month before Christmas to 10 grand to 15 grand to 20 grand a month sending out afternoon teas all over the country. It was just phenomenal. It hit me like a bus. I wasn't expecting the demand, but because then we went back into lockdown, we were on tiers, and different parts of the country were on different tiers, like anniversaries, Mother's Day, Valentine's, birthdays. That's what everybody turned to. And I was absolutely loving it. I was in Olive magazine. I was next to Rick Stein as one of the best delivery companies in the UK at the time. And it was just like, I was in Women's magazine, a really cheesy article with me holding like my afternoon tea. But it was really good and it was crazy. But then come the summer 2021, the world started to reopen. So my daughter was back at school. Rob was back out working. He wasn't really at home much anyway because he was construction industry is still allowed to go out. So he was out working. And then I found that I was just on my own every single day. So I was at home packing boxes. I wasn't baking everything myself at this point because the demand was so high, it wouldn't physically be possible. So I had the bakery. So the bakery would come at 6 a.m. I'd be making all the sandwiches, packing everything up. The courier would be coming at 4:00 p.m. I couldn't leave my house. So then I started to really resent the business, because obviously working in financial services for so long meant sitting in my clients' houses every single day. And it's what I love. I love being around people. And you also have like your birthday nights out, or somebody's leaving do, or you just go out on a Friday, you go for a few drinks after work, or you have the nice incentives where you go for lunch or you go abroad. And obviously all that stops when you have your own business. You're not going to incentivize yourself to go on a ski trip to Davos. Like, it's just not going to happen. So I started to miss all these fun things, miss being around people, but I'd made a lot of connections online. So then I started to think, what could I do differently? That I'm never going to go back into financial services. That was a definite. I'm totally unemployable now. I can never go back to a job. So I need a new business and I need something that I'm going to love and never resent. And that's where the idea, long-winded way to get there, come for Pete's Private Members Club. So it's like, well, I've met all these people online, but I haven't met them in person yet because we're only just allowed to go out. I hated networking. I hate networking. I hated the traditional networking of 6 a.m. breakfasts, pinstripe suits, stuffy pitches, 60 seconds, pitch of shame. Hated all of that. So I was like, I don't want to do that kind of networking. I want some fun, genuine networking where actually people are there to have connections and not just to sell their stuff. So all these ideas were forming and that's where the idea come from. So in December 21, I opened up a membership for women business owners to come and meet each other to connect, which is online. But the USP was, we're going to do lots of fun events. And that's probably where you've seen when you've done your stalking, is that there's lots of photos of me and lots of happy women doing different things. So we've done lunches, we've done cold water swim, we've been to Edinburgh and done comedy clubs and dine lunches, kind of the higher end lunches. We've done spa days, loads. We've done an amazing retreat up in the Highlands, which was 4 days at absolute gorgeous scenery. We went down a slide into the loch. We've just had really good fun and I absolutely love the business. And I think when I met you in March, it had only been running for 3 months. It was really new. And it's a year now. And I feel like it's something I've been doing forever. It's like I've found that thing that I really love.
Well, that was the thing. See, because when we did meet, it was very early days.
Yeah.
Very early days. And then I've seen it grow.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've seen it grow and I've seen it grow and it's grown in such a short period of time. So, you know, part of having you on, to be honest, is a selfish, guilty. I want to find out how, right? And, you know, and I know part of what you do at the Peaks Private Members Club.
Yeah.
Teach people how to do what it is that you've done.
Yeah. That's it.
But it's only ladies, right?
At the moment, the membership and everything was all set up for female business owners. That's how it was. Whether, like you were talking goals, what's on my future goal list is more of a mixed, maybe events. So some events are mixed. Some will always be women only, like spa days, because not everyone's going to be comfortable networking with men in a spa. But
Other events.
So like I've got an event on next week in Manchester. At the moment, there's 28 members going, but I have shared it publicly and said, if anybody else wants to come along, they can buy tickets and come and see what it's all about. Because I actually love mixed groups. I've always worked with men. And I think one day there will be scope for that. But what the membership is online, it's quite a safe space where some people might not feel comfortable talking about some things if there were men in there. That's the only reason we've kept it that way.
No, I get that.
I'll let you come to an event one day.
No, well, that's kind. That's very, very kind. No, I get it. I think it's very important that when you're in business, that you do have somewhere where you can say stuff and you're not going to get a hard time about it. And people have either been there or they're about to come through into the arena that, you know, and you can learn from people that have been there already. And also, you know, you can share. And if somebody's in a similar sort of position, then, you know, you can go forward together.
Yeah.
And you know, the support side of things. So, and I do get all of that. And naturally, one can totally understand why you wouldn't want blokes when there's like semi-naked females wandering around in. I get that. Totally get that. How did you start it? I mean, you know, because I'm looking at your Facebook page and it's like, you know, you got 4.1 thousand followers. I mean, you're following 1.3 thousand people. So I'm guessing some of that is like, you know, you follow people and then they follow you back and that develops
Lucious. So when I first come into this whole online world, so it would have been late 2020. So when I had Shoelicious, I was on Facebook one day and I saw somebody talking about a course on branding. And I was like, because I just literally just had some logo that I'd created on Canva. But as the business was growing, I was like, no, I actually want it to be professional. I didn't actually just want the typical cake and teapot branding. I wanted something that looked much luxurious because my prices weren't cheap. So I needed to make sure that my branding matched that. And I joined a course and then I met people. And then I was just entered into this whole online world that I knew absolutely nothing about, with courses and masterminds and memberships. Like, it was so new to me. I was like, wow. So then I was obviously meeting lots of other people who maybe previously had been employed, but now were thinking, well, I want to run courses and masterminds. And then I did another course which taught you all about doing that. So I learned a lot through that course on how you build your audience, if you have a Facebook group. But for me, I suppose what I was doing at that point, because I had no intention then of having a networking business, wasn't even on my radar that that would ever be something I'd do. But all I was doing was just connecting with people genuinely. So just having conversations, just liking their posts, just commenting. You know, I'd met people in courses and masterminds I was on. So we'd have our own little chats and voice notes and things through lockdown and just getting to know people. That's all I was doing. And that's probably come from the experience of being a financial advisor and knowing how to get to know people and how to build rapport and knowing how to ask questions, just being a normal human being, just speaking to people. And that's really all I was doing. So then when I did come to Set Peaks Up, it wasn't like I just went, I'm setting up this new business and everybody jumped in. I'd built quite a lot of relationships, or I'd built a bit of people knew what I wanted to do and what I wanted to achieve. The biggest challenge for me at that point was changing. I was kind of named the afternoon tea lady. Mm. So it's changing from that brand into today's brand of trying to remove that, because I was like, I don't want to be the afternoon tea lady anymore. This is what I want to do.
Yeah.
So I just met people through, you know, other people's Facebook groups, other people's communities, memberships, and just got to know people through that. And then from about September to December, I would just be sharing on my personal profile what I had as ideas, like what types of events I'd want to run. So that then obviously piqued people's interest, so that when obviously I did come and open the doors, people come in. And I think in between Christmas and New Year, I launched it. I got 30 people in the first couple of weeks. And then by March, I had 100 members. So, and then we had a big spa day in March where there's about 20, 25 of us that went. So then that also helps, because then people are sharing their day, tagging you on Facebook, and then more people are seeing eyes on it, which then brings more people in. So yeah, it's literally, there wasn't any science behind it. Like, to be honest, I was scared of visibility at that point. So I wasn't really going live on my socials. I wasn't speaking in other people's groups. I definitely wasn't on podcasts. This is the third podcast I've ever done, because I was too scared to do them, literally up until about November. But what it was just having genuine relationships and building connections with people in a genuine way. That's how I like to do things. And it works. It's not like an instant sale, but it works, because people get to know you. You start to have some conversations. They get to know what you like. You know, if they don't like swearing and they don't like people that drink red wine, then they're not going to like me.
Fair enough. We're all good in that respect. You know, there's a few things in there. There's a few good things about, you know, people that are in business or want to be in business or want to create a business. It's like genuine interest in other people.
Yes.
That came out to me in there. And just being normal. Just, you know, just be you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I find this, you need to be you. If you're trying to be something else, right, then you've got to think all of the time. I mean, it takes all the pleasure out of everything. Because if you've got to think about, I'm a certain way in this world, then it just makes it really, really complicated, because you're one person one time and another person another time.
Surely it's harder.
It's definitely harder.
Be trying not to be yourself. I mean, yeah. The reason I wouldn't go on podcasts and the reason I was scared about speaking in people's groups is because I'm like, who wants to listen to my brummy tones? Like, that's what I thought. So it was very much like, that's why I held myself back. And I thought, do you know what? Like, I'm telling people all the time to just be themselves and not to worry about what people think. What people think isn't putting money on you, isn't feeding you, giving you money. So don't worry about what people are thinking. But then me, myself, is like, ugh. I don't want to do it.
It's odd, isn't it? It's odd.
Yeah.
Yeah, we see stuff for other people, but then, you know, it's like,
yeah,
reluctant. Or we tell them to do things and then we're reluctant to do it ourselves. It's like,
yeah.
Oh, no, we need to lead by example in that respect.
Exactly. And that's one of my big goals this year, was to do these things that make me feel uncomfortable. It's to try and do something all year that is pushing me out of my comfort zone. It's the only way I think we'll grow our businesses, by doing that.
Yeah, no, that's good. I prefer to expand our comfort zone.
Okay.
Rather than go outside of our comfort zone. When something's expanded, you see, it doesn't tend to go back. Going outside of your comfort zone, it's like, well, I can jump back into it. But if we expand our comfort zone and just do more and more and more things and just make it bigger and bigger, that was just something I picked up from somebody somewhere like better than you. Yeah. So we started right at the beginning, because you said, Doug, this is Goals Do Come True podcast. And you said, I'm the worst person for that. Right. So you must have some goals. I mean, because you've got a goal to put yourself out there a little bit.
Yes.
So tell me why you think you don't have any goals, or that you're the worst person for me to speak to about goals.
I'm not very structured. And I've probably always been a bit like that. Where so then in the professional world, that could come across as unorganized and unprofessional.
Hello, I hope you don't mind me interrupting this episode. Just wanted to tell you about one of my other businesses, which is DB Wealth Planning and Preservation. We do cash flow modeling, lifestyle financial planning, and wills and trusts. So if that's something that's on your agenda, if you want to see what your future looks like well ahead of the game, then pop over to my website, dbwpp.co.uk, and we'll help you create your future and protect your assets. So that's dbwpp.co.uk. Anyway, let's go back to the podcast.
Have you ever done the insights questionnaire?
Possibly.
It's a bit like DISC, but it's an insights one that we used to do, and I find it fascinating. Well, I'm sunshine yellow, which even tells you that potentially comes across disorganized. And that's, I don't have structure, so I don't wake up on a daily basis knowing exactly what I'm going to do each day. When it comes to goals, since I've started my own business, I have done like Shoelicious. I knew at the beginning of the year what I wanted to do. And because of lockdown, everything, that smashed out the park straight away. But that wasn't all down to me. It was circumstances and things which done really well. But I don't like writing down, you know, like vision boards, and people have vision boards and things. I don't like writing down what I really want. And whether that's coming from a background where it's all KPIs and targets, and if you don't hit your target, you're not going to get paid. And if you don't hit this, you're going to lose this. Whether that's still inside my head, I don't like to write down, this is what I want to do, because I will beat myself up if I don't achieve it.
Okay.
But what I did do at the start of this year, so in like a little WhatsApp mastermind group with some of the business owners, and he was very much giving me a bit of a kick up the ass, like, no, just do it. So I have got on my wall over here a flip chart.
Woohoo.
And I have mapped out what I would like to do this year, monetary-wise. Courses, VIP days, my retreats, my events, and my membership. And my big goal is to do £500,000. I would love to get to £500,000. Now, realistically, it's not going to happen this year. But if I take all those steps, I'm going to get far closer to it than not even having the goal. And I can see that now. I didn't do that last year. I was too scared. But already I can see what I had for January. Okay, I'm slightly off it, but not much. And then if I start working towards that, and what I've got to realise is no one's going to tell me off. No one's going to shout at me if I don't hit my target.
And, you know, shucks, right? You do 420.
Oh my God, I'd be ecstatic.
Right? Yeah. And yeah, you haven't hit the goal of £500,000, but, you know, it's going to be considerably more than the 100.
Yeah.
That you did with Shoelicious.
Yeah. Right?
Or the six figures. And, you know, within financial services, if you are good and you've been around for a little while, you can do 100K, six figures relatively straightforwardly. I mean, you just need to be around and hang on in there. So it is, you know, it is possible. But the thing is, with a £500,000 goal, if you come short, it doesn't matter, because it's going to be so far ahead of 100.
Exactly, yeah.
And that's the thing. And you're absolutely right, as much as, well, if you've shared it with people, then you can share that you didn't achieve it. Right?
Yeah.
You don't need to share it.
No.
Although in the environment that you're in, I think it would be something that would help other people move along the sharing and caring community of, well, this is what we're going for. And, you know, there's a handicap system, just as there is in golf. It's like, well, you know, I'm not going to hit 500,000. And you think, well, no, but you're 3 years behind me.
Yeah.
So you're not. Don't expect to, but at least we've got something to compare and something to go for. So I think, you know, there's a couple of interesting things there, but you're now more comfy with goals.
Yeah.
And you've written something down and you've got something to measure yourself against. And the thing is that I get with you on the KPIs, the key performance indicators for, you know, people in financial services is number of complaints. And it's like how many sales you do, how many appointments, how much turnover and all, you know, it's the same in any business.
Yeah.
But certain businesses out there lend too much on the KPIs and less on the, you know, what's the progress? I mean, I know I used to work with a couple of guys and they go, what on earth were you talking about for 3 hours in that meeting? Let's do it. You know, just get in there, take the money, get out. And it's like, hold on a second. One, I do more business than you anyway. Two, I get more referrals than you anyway. Yeah. And three, I don't have to work so hard because I've built, you know, I spent an extra hour with somebody chatting and finding out about them and creating a relationship with them. And they refer me and they come back and it's like, I'm not starting from ground zero every 2 minutes.
Exactly. And it's so much nicer to work in that way, to have real connections and real relationships. It's definitely.
Yes. And I can see that as, you know, that is working with your business.
Yeah.
And I love that. Now, so we've got the big, hairy, audacious goal, as we call it, 500,000. And we're in January. So, you know, we've got, you know, well, end of January now. So we've got 11 months to go for it. But I like the fact that, you know, it's mapped out and you've got the different arenas and how much each is going to generate. And that's, but how much time do you, you know, do you spend on peaks?
Probably not as much as I should.
That's interesting because I was expecting you to say, well, it's 24/7.
Well, If I take into account how much time I live on this,
yeah,
literally from the minute I'm awake to the minute I go to sleep,
yeah.
So if you count that as work, which it is, but I just love it and I love speaking to people and I love being in my communities. But yes, it is a 24-hour role keeping up with socials. Mm-hmm. But then on a daily basis, it's, you know, all the sessions that I'll host. Then it's mapping out the events. Then it's thinking what new can we introduce? But then there's also the marketing, the launches. But I'd probably start work at say 9:30 in the morning. And I'm usually done by 4 or 5. And I'll have my lunch and I'll be at home. But then obviously the days I've got my events, I'll be out having events. I'm stopping in hotels, might be having nice lunches. So got quite a nice lifestyle business. And that's where I said I don't have the structure where I'm up at 6 and I've got this and this and this to do. It's just like, it's not how I work. It's not how I would be productive. And I went through a phase probably last September feeling really low because I was constantly being told that if you have no structure in your business, you won't succeed. And I was like, oh, I'm going to be a failure then because I just don't. But I'm really fortunate. I have Kylie, who is my amazing business manager, membership manager. She does loads for me. If I didn't have Kylie, I literally would be working every minute of every day. So I've managed now, because Peaks has grown, I've managed to outsource all the scheduling, the groups. She looks after all my emails. She'll write blogs for me. She manages my socials externally to my communities. She'll do my email sequence for launches. She'll do my graphics. She'll deal with anybody who's scheduled to speak in my groups. She does everything. So my time is very much more the creating the ideas, the launches. So, and that's just fun, really. And then just being on my phone 24/7.
But I think, you know, we touched on another important thing there. It's like, you know, we can't do everything. And you can do everything because right at the beginning, you were doing everything. Right?
Yeah.
Some of the stuff that you were doing probably wasn't being done as well as it's being done now.
I wasn't sending out weekly newsletters, weekly emails. I wasn't doing blogs. I wasn't doing any of that other stuff. So literally couldn't have time to do it. So now I'm starting to introduce more into the business, which is, you know, giving people more value, doing more things because I've outsourced to Kylie. And those things, they do take up a lot of time if it's not something that you're really passionate about doing. And so, yeah, it's definitely just passing on to somebody who is brilliant at it,
That is the other thing, isn't it? You know, because we've all got our skills, right?
Yeah.
We've all got our skills. And then, you know, we pick up on something and it's like, oh my God, this is just draining. And I've got, you know, got no enjoyment for it. And I really don't want to do it. And you know, it's got to be done. And then you find somebody and they just love it. It's like, that's alien. How does that work? You know, but we're all different. We're all different.
Exactly.
And that again is an incredible thing. It's like, you know, that believe it. You have to understand and accept and believe that there are people out there that actually love what you hate doing.
Yeah.
And they're not working either. You know, I mean, because you said, you know, it's not work. When you're doing what you love, it's not work, is it?
That's it. Yeah. I mean, Kylie joined my membership. So I met Kylie. Actually, I met Kylie through the first course I did back in 2020, just online. Kind of cross paths in different communities, but we'd never really spoken. We'd never spoken ourselves. We'd just been in communities and commented and spoken through groups and things. Then she joined Peaks when I opened it a year ago. She's one of the first members. And then she absolutely loved it. And Kylie's got her own business as well. She's a spiritual coach. She's amazing. She runs a brilliant business. She's got her own membership. She's got her own communities. And then I just put something in the group about that I'm going to have to start looking to get somebody to help me. And she just sent me a message. She's like, this is going to sound really random. I know I'm not a VA. I don't do anything like that. I've got my own business, but I absolutely love Peaks. I love what you've created. I love being part of it and I'd love to help you. So then I was like, I can't wish for anything more to have somebody that's as passionate about my business than I am. And it's just worked brilliantly. So I think 5-6 months maybe now, Kylie has worked helping me. And honestly, if she left, I don't know what I'd do. I really wouldn't have a clue because she is very structured, organized, and she'll sometimes be messaging me, have you got this? Have you got this? Have you thought of this? And I'm like, oh, God, yeah. So she keeps me in tow as well, which is great.
Well, that's the other thing about this stuff. You know, if you put yourself out there and you just ask,
yes.
So, you know, somebody somewhere knows somebody that knows somebody, or in fact, you're directly talking to them. So now I know, you know, goals isn't your thing. All right. Ridiculous, really, because the fact is that, you know, you did 6 figures in financial services. You did 6 figures in Shoelicious. You're going to be 6 figures in Peaks without a doubt. All right. And this is without goals, allegedly.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you for a nugget, right? So this is goals do come true. A nugget for, if you can shape it around goals, but if it's just the thing that everybody needs to know, according to Nicola Peak, a nugget.
A nugget. So for me, the realization this year, I've been writing book chapters for a couple of collab books, and I've never been a writer, I've never written down. But what I've noticed, what come out of there was probably reasons things happen throughout the years, I suppose. When you start writing it down, it's like, well, and I guess looking at it goal-wise, the biggest thing that drives me is personal motivation. So I know we all have our personal motivations where, so I could say to somebody, why do you do what you do? And a lot of people will say, because they love helping their clients, they want to change the world, they want to do this. And yes, I do have all those. It's not that I don't, but my personal motivation, I've always wanted to have abundance of money. That's what I've always wanted. I've always wanted to have financial freedom. I've always wanted to have nice holidays, have nice things, have a nice car, have a nice house. Why? I don't know whether it's because, I don't know, I was brought up on a council estate and I just always wanted more. But that's what my drive is. I want to be financially secure. That's really what I want. But I want to have a business that I enjoy. So what I've created in Peaks is quite a lifestyle business. Mm-hmm. I get to do all the things I would just want to do anyway. So I get to go with lunches with amazing people, do nice things. And that's a personal motivation. That's because that's just what I love doing. So I've created a business doing things that I love doing. And by me doing what I love, I'm then projecting my happiness onto other people. and bringing them into my world. And that's the motivation. So yes, there's all the other stuff, but it's really looking at why you do what you do and then getting really deep into that as to why you do and having that motivation for your goal then. I think it makes your goals a bit easier when you really find out your why. I've not looked at my why probably until about 3 months ago, and that's made a big change for me. Yeah, definitely.
I love it. I love it. And you weren't expecting it. So we got some proper deep stuff. But it's interesting. I think, you know, people need to get into their why sooner rather than later.
Absolutely. I wish I'd done it a lot sooner, if I'm being honest. Yeah. I think without the writing it down and really thinking about it, it would have just stayed surface level.
Yeah.
Then when you really dig down into your why, you're like, oh, yeah, that's... and then it means more to you. Definitely.
That's good. Well, I think, you know, that's a perfect place to bring this episode to a close. It's been a pleasure, Nicola, to have you on board. Right. And, you know, I have been, you know, sort of keeping an eye, enviously seeing what you're able to achieve and what you have achieved over the last year. And, that, you know, I know you're going to get, you know, if you don't smash, you'll get so close to 500,000 that, you know, happy days.
Yeah.
It'll be happy days. And I like the fact that you found your Kylie and she's there. Make sure that she writes down everything that she does for you as a process. And then that way, if she does decide that she doesn't want to work with you anymore, then you've got something to pass on to somebody else.
I've got her address now, so I'll just go and stalk.
Yeah, absolutely.
I shouldn't use a fake name, really, so nobody goes to try and pinch her off me.
Well, that is the thing. We do get a bit protective of our special people, and I've got special people around me that make me look good too, which is what it's all about. You know, they do all the hard work. But Nicola, thank you very much. We're going to make sure that all of your stuff is in the show notes. And, you know, girls, if you want to go on an amazing retreat and, you know, I know some of the girls that go on your retreats and they're all incredible people and they're all lovely people. And that is another thing. You need to surround yourself with lovely people that are supportive.
Yeah, absolutely.
And go far on.
Definitely. Thank you so much for having me. And I hope you come to one of our events.
Thank you. I'll make sure that I do. But it obviously won't be in a, you know, a row. Thank you, Nicola.
Thank you. Take care.
Thank you for listening to Goals Do Come True. I'm Doug Bennett, the Goals Guy. Please remember to subscribe and review on Apple, Google, or Spotify. Visit dougbennett.co.uk for the latest on transforming your life through goals. Happy goal setting. Until next time.